So there you have a very clear erotic element to the story. Gudrida and Eric are little beautiful blonde children who fall in love when they're like 13 years old, and then dark-haired, witchy Swanhild shows up, and she wants to get Eric and get rid of Gudrida. And the whole story is really focused around all of Swanhild's manipulations and how Eric meets them, though it's never directly Eric against Swanhild, and Swanhild really does love him, but she gets other people to try to marry Gudrida, and Eric fights them, and so forth. Eric's strength and his fearlessness makes him into a somewhat different hero. Again, the Germanic hero. He's different from Odysseus, say, or Aeneas, in that, again, very strong, very brave, and kind of stupid. He doesn't negotiate with people. He doesn't figure things out. He's always rushing into things incorrectly. But he does things like climb a gigantic frozen waterfall that no one thought could be done. And he defeats Skallagrim, who Haggard calls the Bearsark, in a really interesting little mistranslation. In Old Norse, there were characters called Berserker, and we take our modern English word berserk from them, but that's incorrect, because berserker didn't mean one who berserks. There's no Old Norse verb berserks. It's just a noun, a berserker, a person who goes crazy in battle. And they were also translated as bear sarks, wearing no shirt, because they wouldn't wear armor in battle. Or they're mistranslated as bear shirts, wearing bear skins. And Haggard actually plays with both of these, and both of them are wrong. It simply meant that someone went berserk in battle. And here I am mistranslating it. Anyway, Skallagrim, who probably has nothing to do except the name with the famous Egil Skallagrimsson, the great Old Norse hero, and Eric make a kind of proto-tag team fighters, like you'll get later with Frodo and Sam and all the great pairings in literature. You get Eric and Skallagrim, and eventually they are killed, and that's what makes it a tragedy of Eric Brighteyes, and that's very important also, because unlike Alice in Wonderland, Princess and the Goblin, there's no happy ending. I should also add that Tolkien rejected that idea that serious literature couldn't have a happy ending. But a lot of this comes from Haggard and in reaction to Haggard. The other person whose influence is really important is William Morris. And you might know William Morris as an artist. He's famous for being part of the arts and crafts movement. He created medieval tapestries as wallpaper so normal people could have them, or as mass-produced items. And he believed that he was a proto-socialist, not in the sense of a socialist against the free market as much as a socialist who wanted ordinary poor people to have nice things and beautiful things. And he tried to build those things and invent those things and draw those things. But he also wrote literature. He was very interested in medieval literature, and he could read, or at least he could read well enough that when someone helped him, he translated Old Norse sagas and Beowulf and so forth. And the reason I bring this up is his book, The House of the Wolfings, is almost certainly the major influence for how Tolkien treated the Anglo-Saxons when he gets to the Rohirrim in the Two Towers. And it comes from William Morris, and I'll talk more about that when we get to that lecture. But it's important to see where these writers are coming from.